Well, it's time for the annual Bob Enyart Live Internet Telethon. Help keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year. Help keep Bob's message going out to a worldwide audience, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. If you like the teaching, if you like the resources, if you believe that this ministry is valuable and necessary in a lost and dying world, please go to the KGov store, sign up for the monthly Bible study, buy some products, arm yourself with some of the best Bible teaching available on the market today. Keep Bob Enyart's message going out to a worldwide audience on the internet for another year.
It's good to be back in Colorado.
Amen.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I'm here to help you get to heaven on a dollar a day.
What?
A dollar a day.
And that's all it costs to get to heaven?
Well,
you could buy tickets.
No. You can get, it's not like trying to get Tim Tebow out of purgatory.
Yeah.
I recently invested in some indulgences right before the Pope left.
Yeah.
From what I heard, he's still there, but I thought maybe I could get him out of there, but last I heard, he's still there. No, a dollar a day.
Get Tim Tebow out of purgatory.
Right. From what I understand, he's being kept in a cage underneath the Meadowlands, and the indulgences have not worked so far.
That's a scary place
to be.
But
now you can get to heaven for free. Absolutely. You don't need to spend a dollar.
It's free for us because of what it costs Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Right.
So I'm being very flip when I say I want to help you get to heaven on a dollar a day.
Yeah.
Now, Bob Enyart Live does approximately 260 shows per year.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No, but
well, you're here
makes
for
sense.
Almost every one of them.
One per weekday.
Yeah, one a weekday. About 260 shows per year. So, as you know, our telethon has started, the March telethon to keep Bob Enyart Live on the internet for another year.
With a modest goal of $25,000.
Very modest, very reachable. And I don't want to beat the telethon horse to death. So we're going to get this out of the way early.
And go right to the news.
We have a $260 matching challenge.
Oh.
So a listener, Tom, in Wisconsin, has pledged $260, and he wants us to ask the audience, is Bob Enyart Live worth a dollar a day?
Oh, isn't that neat?
A dollar a day.
I didn't know about this. Thank you, Tom.
Tom, you're right, Tom.
Appreciate you.
Bob Enyart Live is worth at least a dollar a day. So for those of you in the audience, jump online at kgov.com or call in 1-800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. And pledge $260 for the telethon. It's a dollar a day. You might spend less on coffee every day, right?
Yeah.
So a dollar a day. Let us help you understand the Bible for just a dollar a day. That's a better way to say it than help you get to heaven.
But that was
what came to me right before we went on the air.
See, that's why live radio is dangerous.
That's right. You can get in trouble. So is Bob Enyart Live worth a dollar a day? You bet it is. So call us up and pledge your $260.
We should have a seven-second delay implemented just in case the hosts say something that shouldn't be aired.
Absolutely.
So,
And of course, we will be entertaining other donations or purchases, subscriptions to the Bible teaching materials to help you understand the Bible better. But a dollar a day sounds like a bargain to me for Bob Enyart Live.
Somebody from Irwin, Pennsylvania just bought a copy of My Life's Work, The Plot, An Overview of the Whole Bible.
Wow.
And we're just so thrilled. That's a new person. We've had about 60,000 copies of The Plot and our related Bible studies, CDs and DVDs sold over, the years we've been on the air. And that's helped us stay on the air tremendously.
Absolutely. So a buck a day, folks. Come on, sit down and ask yourself, is it worth it? And that's it. We'll move on from the telethon to the news of the day.
All right.
So we were recently up in Whitefish, Montana, you and I.
Yeah.
And we were in.
What a great trip we had.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, now, we stopped off in Bozeman to see probably the greatest archaeological discovery of our lifetime.
Paleontological.
Even that.
Discovery.
Yeah, that too.
Which was what?
That was the dinosaur bone from which was extracted collagen, soft tissue.
Yeah.
Stuff that
should have fossilized. Soft tissue from a T-Rex.
Yeah.
In the display.
The display is hidden in the deepest, darkest corner of the museum, and you only can find it by accident looking for the bathroom.
Well, it turns out that they used to have a major display.
Look at that. We've already got our first dollar a day pledge from Rusty in Alaska.
Rusty from Alaska.
From Alaska.
So $260. So that matches the matching offer
Wisconsin. But the matching offer is good for Rusty, but it's also just a suggestion for everyone out there to ask themselves,
okay,
is it worth a dollar a day?
Wow. So we just, thank you, Tom and Rusty, thank you.
Tom's idea, it's one of those viral things.
So Wisconsin and Alaska, which is appropriate because this radio program is on the internet.
That's right. Goes all
reaching,
over the world.
Of course, around the country and around the world.
Unrestrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media, we go worldwide to a worldwide audience.
Yes. So, Doug, okay. So this museum, they used to have this big, gorgeous exhibit of this first famous T-Rex, a dinosaur, Tyrannosaurus Rex, where they got soft tissue from it. And it was gone.
Yeah, it was gone. The whole thing was gone.
We queried the museum staff, and they said it was shipped to the Smithsonian.
Right.
Now, that's big news in and of itself.
I had no idea.
Now, you and I, we got to go to Washington, D.C.
Right. Now, did you notice? Now, as you could well imagine, ladies and gentlemen, Bob and I are walking through this museum, which is a monument and a testament to the Big Bang and old Earth evolution theory.
Darwinism and atheism.
So we were making comments in disagreement with some of the displays.
Yeah, very congenial, as we are on the air.
Right, yeah.
Always. Subdued, quiet, calm.
All of that.
And shy to explain our true feelings. Doug, how does this exhibit really make you feel?
So over the course of wandering through the museum, we kept gathering museum staff. They kept following us. And it's every time we walked into a new section, there would be another staff member
smiling. There were more staff members listening to our – we gave a guided tour, basically.
That's right, for the entire
museum. I think they called in staff members who were on break.
That's right. People who were at home were called in.
Yeah.
They were afraid that we might flip out.
But we asked the guy at the front desk, where is the soft tissue exhibit?
Yeah, that was the first
thing. And in trying to explain it to us, he pulled out this map. I still got the map right here.
Yeah.
He pulled out this map, and I tell you, he mentioned the bathrooms.
He did.
About four times.
He kept pointing out.
We're like, where's the exhibit for the dinosaur soft tissue? He said, well, you see the bathrooms? The bathrooms are prominently marked.
If you go through here and take a left, the first thing you're going to see, and this is important, will be the bathroom. And then you'll move into our Hall of Giants where we have the display. And by the way, in the back corner there
will
be
another. You'll see the bathrooms. And bathroom. When you go through here, if you look. So we went through and we missed it. So it's on this. It's in a corner of the room that's not prominent. Like, if you're just following the flow of traffic.
It's not just not prominent. It's not lit.
You have to look back over your right shoulder as you're following.
You almost have to take a wrong turn.
Yeah.
To find.
Like, you're looking for the bathroom and you find the dinosaur soft tissue.
That's right.
Very much a subdued presentation.
Why would the curator be so preoccupied with the bathroom, but, you know, not
because
really have an idea of where the soft tissue T-Rex
of how prominent it would be. Because he's a womanizer, I guess.
You mean?
I didn't know you were going to say his name.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, that wasn't.
I should take it back.
That wasn't the curator who was there.
Oh, I don't
want
to
offend.
He's the curator.
We were talking about the, I don't know what he was.
One of the staff members.
The front desk guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He
was
obsessed.
But, Doug, it was a weird thing. Could we say this?
Yeah.
I'm sure his wife is not going to listen to the show.
Jack's wife?
Yeah, because I don't want to hurt her.
I don't know that you could offend Jack Horner anymore after that limerick you put on your website. I think he's
about
pretty
the
much
chicken.
He's insulted to his maximum capacity at this point.
Let's just tell the audience he didn't want to meet with us.
He did not.
But anyway,
we let him know
we're in the paleontology wing of the museum, and we're in this Hall of Dinosaurs, and there's an exhibit, and there's a plaque.
Yeah.
And so I read the plaque and I say, Doug, this guy is a womanizer.
Oops. And I read through the plaque and I said, Bob, you're obviously an intuitive.
Because the plaque has nothing to do with, like, sexual morality.
No.
It's just
not
a
on
plaque
its face.
About an Edmontosaurus.
And
I think
and
it was
a group of girls in the college who named this Saurus.
Yeah.
I forget what they called it.
And so anyway, I said, this guy is a womanizer. And it's like, how could you come to that conclusion from this plaque?
I didn't
so
get it.
So we go to dinner that night, and here is a guy. We won't give his name. He's not. But his initials, J.W. And he says, he hears us talking about science and soft tissue, and he went to school at MSU. He took the science courses, and he says, "Do you know Doctor? Do you know of Doctor Horn?" And he says, "That guy's too much. He just married one of his students, a 19-year-old girl."
Whoa!
Like, whoa! How could you get that off of a plaque? But you know, there's nothing wrong with an adult man, even if he's in his 60s, marrying a 19-year-old woman because she's an adult.
Unless she's my daughter.
But, well, good point.
A little creepy,
well, good
all.
Point. I mean, nothing fundamentally immoral. Creepy, yeah. And it would make the parents of who pay for their kids' education to think that the professors are actually predators. And that's pretty much the whole motivation behind Darwinism and the Big Bang in the first place.
I think it's to seduce impressionable young co-eds. I think that's the primary goal.
Yeah. And, you know, they thought at one point there was some guy who thought up some cornball lie to seduce a young girl. And it worked. And ever since, that lie sort of stuck. And now Lawrence Krauss, B.Z. Myers, Jerry Coyne, they all tell the same lie.
Now it's the curriculum.
Right.
Yeah, because it worked.
Right.
All right. So
we had a good trip.
We had a great trip. I have an article here from the Daily Interlake newspaper from Whitefish, Montana.
And that's pretty close to Canada.
Pretty close to Canada. And it's rural America,
yeah.
Which people think is probably fairly conservative area. It's
right.
rural.
Right.
It doesn't get much more rural than Whitefish.
Whitefish.
But before we get to that.
Yeah.
And I burst everyone's bubble about rural America being conservative.
Yeah.
Let's go to Florida. We have a student, a 16-year-old student at Cypress Lake High School. Can I describe the situation briefly?
Yeah.
A football player aboard a bus full of other students was threatening to shoot a teammate with a loaded .22 caliber revolver. A 16-year-old student, Cypress Lake High School, grappled with the armed maniac and disarmed him on the bus.
Wow.
And afterward...
That's heroic.
Now,
and
that's
it could
hero.
Have... Right, that is heroic. And it certainly could have saved one family from having a child murdered and another family from having a murderer for a child.
Yeah, absolutely. Another student on the bus who witnessed the whole incident said... Quote, I think he was really going to shoot him right then and there. So the guy with the gun was serious.
Right.
He was serious. So this.
And regardless, I mean, if you have a gun and you're brandishing it and threatening someone, that is serious.
That's very serious.
If you're a police officer on the scene, you'd be justified for putting a bullet in the guy's head.
That's true. Yeah.
Right there to spur the moment, instantaneous response.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is a serious development.
Absolutely. And this is a heroic young man aboard this bus, the 16-year-old high school student. The student who disarmed the other has been suspended.
What?
For at least 3 days.
You said that wrong. You mean
No.
You mean the one who threatened.
No. He's been arrested. The one who disarmed him has been suspended.
You mean he's been given an award?
No, he's been suspended from school. The next day he's been suspended for at least 3 days from school. And you know why?
Why?
Because it's policy. The school has a policy that anyone involved in any kind of firearms-related incident is suspended automatically.
Liberalism has this mindless component where that's one reason why we have hundreds of thousands of laws.
Mm-hmm.
Because where God gives 10 laws, you know, and you could extrapolate all of criminal justice from just 5 of the Ten Commandments.
That's true.
We have hundreds of thousands of laws so that no one has to think.
Yeah, right.
And that is so broken. It's so left-wing. It's just so utterly mentally absurd ad infinitum.
Yes.
And so you have situations like this where the hero is punished.
Yeah, the exact opposite of what should happens because of policy.
Right.
And because bureaucrats and government educators generally prefer not to think, they prefer to implement policy.
Right. That way no one is responsible, you see, because we're following the process.
Yeah, that's right. Now, not to be concerned, though, the teen who wrestled the gun away from the football player has been informed that he can return to school on Monday.
Oh, no.
He's been informed he can return, but he has been suspended.
Well, when your kid gets suspended, that's not all bad.
No, not necessarily.
No.
In fact, we could call it a word from the Lord.
Oh, wow.
A word from the Lord. Your kid has been kicked out of school. That is a sign from heaven.
Hey, Doug. Yeah, that is. If this were the kind of radio program where we would say, when we have a thought, we'd say, God told me.
I got a word. I got a word.
A lot of people do that. They say, God told me.
Yeah.
And then they say something exactly the opposite of what God told some other slob.
That's true.
So it's like, what do you do?
Well, so generally, we don't claim to have a word from the Lord. But in this case, I just want to let the parents of this student know that it's okay if you interpret this as a sign from heaven to get your kid out of the public school.
So when your child is suspended, yes, consider it a word from heaven.
A word from heaven. That's
this is
right.
A direct revelation. This is special revelation.
That's right. Just for you.
To take your child out of these godless government schools.
Yes. So don't let your son go back to school on Monday, yeah. I'm saying to these parents down Cypress Lake High School.
No. And we have a great book, in fact, The Harsh Truth About Public Schools.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody wants that book by a friend of the show, Bruce Short,
yeah,
if you make a donation to the Telethon, $50 or more, and you ask for that book, we'll give you that book as a gift.
The Harsh Truth About the Public Schools.
Yeah.
Definitely a valuable
resource.
And if
you have, like, you know, friends that have kids in public school and you want to encourage them to pull them out, not to fix them. You don't plan, well, we're going to go to the school board meeting every month for the next 2 years and we're going to fix it. You want to talk about naive. Doug, I had friends who were doing that for like a year. Yeah. They're trying to get everybody to go to the school board meeting. So I sat down with them and said, do you realize how ludicrous this approach is that you've got?
Yeah.
It'd be like trying to go to the meeting of the National Socialist in Berlin and trying to talk to them about being nicer. It's just so stupid.
Yeah.
And I said, what you need to do is turn your energy toward getting the kids out of the public schools.
Amen.
And they said, what a great idea.
All right.
I said, we're going to do that from now on.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's worked because there are millions of families now homeschooling their kids.
Yeah.
So now I don't know what to do next, Bob. Can I touch on this story of the Department of Homeland Security stockpiling 1.6 billion rounds?
Yeah. This came up during our trip.
We
had a road trip.
Yeah.
Great time.
I was terrified, by the way.
1.6 billion rounds.
I have a tendency to lean toward conspiratorial theories, so I warned Pastor Bob about the 1.6 billion rounds that the DHS is stockpiling.
Yeah.
And, you know, thinking they're probably going to break those out right before they shove us into that camp underneath DIA, right?
At the airport.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So Bob made a flip comment. He said, well, gee, you know, I wonder how many rounds are expended at target ranges across the country every year.
Yeah, every day.
Every day, you
every
asked,
day,
right?
And every
so
year.
So anyway, I did a little bit of research, and according to estimate, for all of you who are worried about the Department of Homeland Security, Social Security Administration.
Did this story come from that InfoWars?
Yep, Alex Jones.
He's the 9/11 is an inside job guy.
It's an inside job.
Is that right?
It's a false flag. That's a false flag right there. So,
it's got the fringe. It's got the fringe on the flag, and they say, this court is under maritime law, and it's not.
That's
all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I just got an email from a dear listener in Europe.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I've been reading at InfoWars.com.
Yeah.
And right there. I thought, and he said, if 10% of what I'm reading is true, and it's like, uh-oh, 10%? You can't pronounce the fraction small enough.
Well, wait a second.
Of course, you know, even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Are you telling me that maritime law thing, that's not?
No.
Oh, that's not. I shouldn't worry about that?
No.
Okay.
They buy the flag out of a catalog, and they buy ones that look decorative.
Oh.
Also, like if you sign your name in all capital letters, they can't hold you accountable under federal law. All these weird.
Can I use that?
No.
Okay.
You can. Yes.
Okay. Now, wait. Now, for now, we don't
meaningful.
Want to offend any of our Alex Jones fan listeners out there, but I just want to point out.
But now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
If they're crazy enough to enjoy Alex Jones,
yeah.
How would they even know that we're offending them?
Well, that's true.
Isn't this safe territory?
Our offending them could be a false flag operation.
If you think 9/11 is an inside job, this is awfully close to mental illness. I mean, you are borderline. Mentally ill or mentally ill.
You might be straight up mentally ill.
And so, sure, we are agent provocateurs on the other side.
That's right.
We are funded, who knows?
I'm sure it's
Black
the CIA.
Ops. It's so deep, we haven't been able to figure it out.
Not even we know
no.
who's manipulating us. That's how serious it is.
Yes.
Anyway, according to estimates by the Environmental Working Group, which is a group that studies these type of things, Now, they're worried about lead contamination in the ground. As you can well imagine, liberals are concerned with things like that. So they did they have an estimate that civilians, the Department of Defense, Department of Energy, and law enforcement agencies combined use tens of billions of rounds of ammunition each year.
Per year, tens of billions.
Just at the target range.
Yeah, and so it's not unreasonable to purchase 1.6 billion rounds.
It's not as many bullets as you might think.
If you're the federal government.
Yeah, they've got a lot of guys out there who are armed. Whenever you carry a sidearm for the government, you're required to qualify at least once a year.
Yeah.
And you've got, you got a billion rounds. Anyway, I'm assuming that at target ranges across the country, there's probably 20 billion plus rounds every year that are expended by you and me and police officers and DHF, all these guys.
Yeah.
Because we like going out and shooting targets.
But how about the people who are afraid that they say, look what the government's done. The government has bought all these rounds of ammunition.
Yeah.
So the government might hurt us.
Right.
Now, how about that thought process?
Well, wait a second. The government has the Marine Corps.
They do.
If they want to hurt you.
Right.
I mean, they can hurt. They've got the Secret Service.
Hellfire missiles.
Yeah. Drones.
Drones.
All that stuff. Yeah.
Nukes.
Yeah.
So the fact they'd say, you know, they built a camp at DIA.
Under DIA.
A concentration camp.
Yeah.
And it's like they could put us in jail. It's like, well, they can kill you, and they've been able to kill you for centuries.
That's true. The government's always had the power of the sword.
That's not quite the point. People are sort of missing the point.
I think so. Well, I was worried about the 1.6 billion rounds, and now I'm thinking, you know, that's just not that many rounds. And I figure that if the government comes after me with a handgun, then it could be a lot worse. Hmm. I mean, I could get a Hellfire missile through my bathroom window.
Yeah, and they heat up to like 50,000 degrees. They would melt right through.
Yeah.
You know that barbed wire that's facing in?
Facing
out?
No, in.
Which way is it facing?
So when Bob and I were driving across Montana, we came across a long stretch of an 8-foot fence with the barbed wire pointing toward the highway.
Yeah.
And I said, Bob, is that
the barbed wire is facing the wrong direction. It's supposed to be facing in to keep all the civilians in.
And then I said, wait a minute, Bob, maybe we're in the prison camp. That's it.
We're in.
They've already got us, and we didn't even know it.
The stuff on the other side is
that's
them.
That's right.
That's them.
That barren
we're
wasteland.
We're all in.
We're already in
Everybody's
jail.
In. And, you know, Doug, this is we're pointing out the paranoia of conspiracy theorists, but none of that is to imply that the government is just or righteous.
Oh, absolutely
Or is
not.
Above atrocities.
Or is completely out of control, squandering the fortunes
Godless,
of our grandchildren.
Socialist, evil, communist,
wicked,
social Darwinism, the whole thing, promoting sexual morality, perversion to your children, and, you know, in utter rebellion against God.
That's what the government is.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and that's just the Republicans.
And that you don't even want us to get started on the Democrats.
No.
Okay, so just so you know, if you think the government's out of control and wicked, you're not crazy. If you think you're going to be interred under DIA,
you're probably a piece of Samsonite luggage.
No.
Dreaming that you're a right-wing conspiracy theorist.
Well, anyway, you might have your medical marijuana card is all I'm saying, if you're worried about that. Let's see. I don't know if I want to do this story.
You don't
from
need
the
card group. Anymore in Colorado.
That's right. You can just be a regular civilian, and you can just go, So that's bound to help. That'll clear up a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
All right, so we finished that, the DHS.
And we're almost out of time.
I know. We don't have time to do this story, but you know what? The thing about this
whitefish
story.
We got to go to this whitefish because this is in the local paper.
This is in okay, we'll do it then.
Yeah.
Okay, this is in the Daily Interlake, a rural American paper in Whitefish, Montana.
Yeah.
The headline on the opinion page, 8 Reasons Why Not to Spank Children.
Oh, brother. And Doug, I had been so happy reading that paper.
Yeah, I know.
Because it was such good news. For example, they said the Plum Creek sawmill was going to reopen after 4 years of being closed down.
That's great.
And I thought, this is, you know, cutting down more trees, chopping them up.
Hey, the one thing I'll say about Whitefish was it smelled like a lumber yard. You could smell the fresh cut lumber. It was invigorating.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you want me to go through these 8 reasons?
Well, sure. At least one
probably
or
have
two.
To go. Okay.
Let's see.
The first reason not to spank It is easy for an enraged parent to cross the line from spanking to abusing.
So, Doug, whereas the Bible teaches us to spank our kids, mm-hmm. it's the parents who don't spank who get enraged at their kids.
Mm-hmm.
All the homeschool families I know of who spank their children as a normal part of discipline.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happens somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
But I've yet to see one enraged at their kids or Cheryl and I enraged at our kids. That's what doesn't happen.
That's right.
Because your kids love you. They enjoy your company. They interact with adults as well as kids. And so, okay, so that reason applies only to liberals who don't spank as a general rule.
They're the ones who are enraged.
Yeah, like Alex, not Jones.
Alex, who
called his daughter a fat pig. And
yeah, the guy with the Christian brother.
Alec Guinness.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was enraged.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... All right. Number two, spanking usually leads to more misbehavior. Spanking does work, but only for the immediate misbehavior.
And
kids will often seek out conscious and unconscious ways to get even with you.
So this, the author of this column obviously is not in touch with reality.
Apparently.
Because,
not.
Doug, our kids, we so enjoy being with our kids and our relatives, aunts and uncles, grandparents. They want our kids over. I've heard dozens of times people saying, you know, I just can't take those kids. I don't want those kids at our house.
Almost every
I don't want to travel with those kids ever again. And we're talking about the kids of liberals who don't spank.
Yeah.
Our kids are pleasant to be. You love being with them.
Well-adjusted, happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is the norm. When a Hollywood movie presents kids and parents as hating one another,
uh-huh.
because all the writers in Hollywood hated their parents and their parents hated them. That's how they end up in Hollywood.
Exactly.
And so they don't know what it's like in the real world of the Christian subculture.
Right, where you can learn how to spank effectively and not in anger.
Right.
And how to train and discipline
your
children.
We have a book called Train Up a Child, and with that we include as a gift a sermon I did called Tyrant Dad.
Yeah.
And so if anybody wants to donate $50 or more, we'll give that if you ask for Train Up a Child, great book on child discipline, and the sermon called Tyrant Dad. I think you'll love it.
Absolutely. A $50 donation at kgov.com. Click onto the store or call 1-800-836-9277.
50 or more. We got 1 minute left.
We're almost out of time. So we'll come back to these because these are timeless issues.
All right.
But I just want to let folks know that involved in the Tyrant Dad sermon as well as the book to Train Up a Child, there were no PhDs involved. Now, this article was written by Michael Popkin, PhD.
Oh.
He is a family therapist. He founded Active Parenting Publishers in 1983 to provide innovative resources and an Adlerian-based parent education. I have to look that up. I don't know what that is.
Adlerian.
Anyway, it's not spanking. He has a number of different modes, such as polite requests, firm reminders, logical consequences, active problem
solving. As though, this is a false dichotomy, as though it's one or the other.
Yeah, right.
As though if you spank, you can't make a polite request.
Yeah,
or you can't give a firm reminder.
Well, I just want to ask one question regarding Michael Popkin, PhD.
Yeah.
Since he started his Active Parenting Publishers in 1983, has child behavior in America improved or has it declined?
Since Dr. Spock in the 1960s.
Yeah.
When they taught the nation that spanking is wrong, kids are in a meltdown.
And the whole country's going to hell in a handbasket, but you can help keep Bob on the air. Give to the telethon.
KGov.com or 800-8-NYART. God bless you guys.